chapter 6 and verse 45. Luke 6 and 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And then from the book of James chapter 3, we read in verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? And so this is our third lesson in this little series that we are doing, simply entitled Good Treasure of the Heart. Good Treasure of the Heart. Amen. Can we just pray? Lord Jesus, I pray that you touch our minds, our hearts, that you would minister in this place. Touch us with your word tonight, that we would bring forth good fruit, Lord, that we would bring forth good treasure out of our lives, oh Lord, that we would speak grace to the hearers, that we would minister in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Put your Bibles down. Put your hands together for the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The good treasure of the heart. Over the last two lessons, of course, we have covered the mind of Jesus produces the words of Jesus. We talked about how we should allow the Word of God to govern how we speak and how we think. And we talked last week again about how we should not allow ourselves to fall into the easy trap of criticism. It is so easy for us to be negative, right? We've talked about it's natural to be negative, but it's spiritual to be positive. It's natural to tear things down, but it is spiritual to build things up. It's natural to be a discourager, but it is spiritual to be an encourager. And so we want to make sure that we are installing in our lives the positive principles of Scripture, because we have the love shed abroad in our heart, the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if we had the love of God spread in our hearts, then it should be an issue out of us as that well springs up into everlasting life, that it should flow out of us into encouraging others. Amen. Into strengthening others. You know, sometimes people just need to know that you love them, that you believe in them, that you have faith that they can make it. You're going to make it. You're going to do it. Sometimes people just need a positive word. Now, I'm not talking about just blab it and grab it and, you know, just all kinds of psychological gobbledygook, you know, if I can use that word. That's a very technical word. We'll define that later. But anyway, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real spiritual process. Amen. Right? That you are speaking faith into people's life instead of doubt. You are speaking truth with love. Truth with love, it may bring conviction, but it never brings condemnation. Amen. And I think all of us are guilty of being negative sometimes. Sometimes we try to motivate people with negativity. I know I've been guilty of that in the past, making people feel guilty for not doing what they should do. And, you know, sometimes we need teaching and preaching that is very direct, but also we need it with love. We need to make sure that we are ministering hope to people that, hey, we may not be where we want to be or where we should be, but we can be. Amen. We can be through the Holy Ghost, through the power of God. We can be more than we are. And so we need to make sure that we are not allowing ourselves to live in that critical morass that just gets us down and pulls everything down around us. Because sometimes when we feel bad about ourselves, we want to make other people feel bad too. Because, you know, we pull them down, it kind of makes us feel like we're pulling ourselves up, right? And so that should not be among us. We need to make sure that we are allowing the fruit of the Spirit to develop in us. And you know, so many times we think, okay, well, we have the Holy Ghost, so we should have the fruit of the Spirit. But I will say that when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you receive the seeds of the fruit of the Spirit. But you have to develop them. You have to, in agricultural terms, you have to cultivate them. Amen. It's not enough just to have the right seeds. If you want watermelons, you know, you plant watermelon seeds out in your yard, your garden. It's not enough just to have the seeds, but you got to have the right kind of soil. You got to have the right kind of nutrients. You got to have the right amount of water. You've got to have the right amount of sunlight. It takes a lot of process for those seeds to actually grow up and bear fruit. And so just because you had the seeds doesn't mean you got the fruit.
Amen.
Amen. If you ever tried to chew on a watermelon seed, it doesn't taste like watermelon. It's hard to chew, and you're just not going to make much progress in it. And so having the seed is one thing, but you have to cultivate that. You have to develop that. And so when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that's a powerful thing. It's an instantaneous transformation, right? But we still have to deal with our flesh.
Amen.
Right? And, you know, you repent, you get baptized in Jesus' name, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, but you still have to deal with the carnal nature. Paul said, I die daily. I bring my body under subjection.
Amen.
Why? Because if not, those weeds of critical nature, of carnal nature, of sinful nature, they will come up and they will choke out what God is trying to do in my life.
Amen.
And so we have to develop those things. We have to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering. All of these things, we have to develop them.
Amen.
And what you have to do, first of all, you have to know what they are. You have to recognize your own nature.
Amen.
Some of us struggle with certain parts of Scripture because of our natural nature, our nature. Sometimes we struggle with one fruit of the Spirit because that's our nature. There's some things that you will struggle with that I may not struggle in that area, but I'm struggling somewhere else and you're not struggling in that area. But you have to know yourself and you have to know the Word of God. That's why we study things like this, because we want to bring forth good treasure. Because if I allow my nature to take its course, I am naturally a very critical thinker because I'm a perfectionist. I'm hard on myself and I'm hard on other people and I'm hard on things, right? I could tell you things in this sanctuary, even though we've worked so hard, that are not exactly symmetrical. But I'm not going to tell you, because you don't even know. You probably don't even realize it. And you're just perfectly content not to know it. So why should I spoil it? Amen. But there's little things I can think of. If I can think about them right now, I know one is right in front of me. I won't even mention the things that I know. But if I let myself, then I lean into that, right? But I'm not called to be natural. I'm called to be supernatural. I'm not called to be just me, but I am called to be me filled with the Holy Ghost. And so sometimes you have to deal with the things that are in you. You know how you are better than anyone. And so if there are things that you struggle with, then you need to deal with those. There's some things, and I've taught you this many times. There's some things that you will deal with that I won't deal with. I've never been around alcohol in my life. Thank God. I'm at least third generation to never have a drink of alcohol. And that's not a brag. It's just life. That's what it was. I'm third generation never to smoke a cigarette. Right? Now, I lit a few when I was young. And I was kind of like Bill Clinton. I didn't inhale. I was deathly afraid that I was going to get sick. And then if I got sick, it was going to be obvious and I was going to get in a lot of trouble. And so I think I lit a couple, but I never really smoked and never got addicted to it for sure. And I've never drank alcohol. And so when I smell it, I can't even imagine somebody drinking it. It just smells terrible. There's nothing about it that tempts me. Amen. So I can go sit at Chili's and somebody behind me can have some sort of alcohol behind me and there's no temptation there. Amen. In fact, it's just the opposite. It's like, ugh, that just smells terrible. I can't even imagine drinking that. It's just terrible. But there's other things that I may deal with that you won't. And so you got to know yourself. You got to know yourself. You got to let the Lord give you discernment about yourself. You know, the problem is that so many of us, we have blind spots. And I teach you this all the time, and this came from my pastor, right? There's three things about us. There's one, there's the us that we know that nobody else really knows. It's just kind of the private us, the private thoughts, things that have happened to us in the past, things that we deal with privately, and no one else knows about us. And then the second thing, there are things that we know about us and everybody knows, right? It's just kind of obvious. It's public knowledge. The third thing is the scariest one, and that's what other people know about you that you don't. I mean, have you ever been around someone that didn't know the proper use of soap and deodorant? Everybody else knew that they didn't know the proper use of soap and deodorant, but for some reason they weren't taught right. Their nose is broken. I don't know what it is, but they didn't know. And so everybody else knew, but they didn't know. And so what Brother Hargrove teaches, and I think what is wise for all of us, is we need to work at trying to figure out what is that third thing. Because if you don't know, you can't really do anything about it. What are those things in me that I need to work on? And this is great to have a spouse. Because a spouse, they will hone in on the things you don't know about yourself. And it's not always pleasant at the time. Amen, right? Just being real, I'm so glad. I have a lovely wife. She loves me. She knows me almost as well as I know myself. We've been married for over 30 years, been dating for 31 years, still dating. Went to dinner last night after prayer. We're still dating. And so, but there's times that she will tell me things and I didn't know that about myself. Or I was denying that about myself. And it hurts sometimes. And you get defensive. But I tell her, I said, look, I need you to be who you are. I need you to be strong enough to tell me. Because sometimes I'm a bulldozer. You know, I'm just going through life. Just my manly nature. Just taking care of things. Fixing stuff, you know. You know, we're fix-it men. We're just always trying to fix stuff. And so sometimes I get tunnel vision. Amen. And I do that in marriage. I do that at the house. I do that in leadership. Sometimes I get tunnel vision. I need somebody to say, hey, are you sure? Are you sure that you want to do that? Are you sure you want to go there? You want to do that? You want to say that? You want to make that decision? And at first, you know, sometimes we're defensive about it. But once you think about it a minute, you're like, you know, they're right. And she's right most of the time. And it helps me. And that's what God has given us is a helpmate. And so the thing that we've got to do, if we're going to be everything God has called us to be, we need to know ourselves. The Bible says that we look into the mirror of the Word. And a forgetful hearer will look into the mirror of the Word and go and forget what manner of man they are. They'll look, oh, well, that's me. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't go there. And then you walk away and say, oh, well, I'm just going to do my own thing. But a faithful hearer, a faithful hearer is a doer of the Word. They look into the mirror, they see who they are, and then they conform themselves to the Word of God. And if we're going to bring forth good treasure from our hearts, we're going to have to conform ourselves to the Word of God. Because our heart is deceitful. It's deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? We've got to conform our heart to His heart so that we can be the people God has called us to be. And so we know ourselves well enough that we've got to protect ourselves of what to say, when to say it. Because sometimes, you know, our nature is harsh and we're going to harm people. We got to be more patient. We got to be more kind. We got to remember we're trying to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And so to do that, you got to know yourself. You got to guard yourself. And it's so important for us to be able to bring forth good treasure. And where we left off the week before was that we are fighting the battle in our minds. The heart is not this, it's this. And this is where we get false concepts. This is where we get misdirection. This is where we have carnal things that are birthed in our life, and they start off as thoughts and they end up as actions.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And we've got to be careful. We've got to conform ourselves daily to the Word of God. We've got to submit ourselves daily to the Spirit of God. We've got to live a repentant life so that we can represent who God is. Because if not, we're going to represent who we are. And guess who all of us are at our core? We are carnal.
Amen.
We're carnal. And so to be spiritual, we have to install the Word of God. That we talk about that when we talk about holiness, right? We're not. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We can't be holy on our own, but we're washed in the waters of baptism in Jesus' name. We are filled with what? The Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And now we have the Holy Word of God that we follow. And that's how we live a life of holiness.
Amen.
We do not submit to our own will. We submit to the will of the Word. Amen. And so that's the same way with our attitude, with our nature, with our words, with the things that we're bringing out of our heart. We only can bring good because there's none good but God.
Amen.
The only way you can bring good treasure is to have God installed in your heart and have your heart conformed to the Word of God. I have hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Amen. Because there's the way. Listen, there is a way that seems right to a man.
Amen.
But the end of it is destruction.
Hallelujah.
And the problem is, how do you discern what is really right and what is wrong?
Amen.
Our heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? And so the world says, follow your heart. But the Bible says, follow the Word. Don't follow your heart. Conform your heart to the Word of God and then follow the Word. And so you don't even have to really understand everything that the Word says. But if it says, thou shalt not, then guess what? Thou shalt not. You may not even understand why I shouldn't do that. But if the Word of God says it, you can guarantee it's what's good for you.
Amen.
And so there are, Brother Baker, there are seven ways. Me and my sevens. I love sevens. Seven ways to bring forth good treasure. And the first is found in Isaiah 26 and 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So number one of the ways to bring forth good treasure out of your heart and not to fall into the trap of criticism and a critical nature is focus on God, not man. Amen. Focus on God. He's perfect. He's light. He's peace. Amen. He's joy. He is contentment. Focus on God and not man. Number two is in this same verse, trust in God. The greatest worship that you could ever have is trust. Thank you, Jesus. It's trust. It's really the greatest outpouring of love is trust. When you can look at somebody and you can say, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you to be there. I trust you. There's nothing like having a spouse that you can trust. When my wife pulls out of the garage and rolls out of there, I don't worry about where she's going or who she's talking to or what she's doing. Why? Because I trust her. Hallelujah. Now, I love her, and I feel that love most of the time. Right? I'm just being real. Does everybody feel love all the time? No. You do love all the time, but you don't feel love all the time. But I trust her. I trust her. There's a power in that. When you can just tell God, God, I trust you. I may not know what you're doing. I may not know where you are. I feel like Job. I've looked to the right and the left, the front and the back, and I can't find you. But I do trust you that you know where I am. That's the greatest form of love and worship that you can give him. I trust you. And when you focus on God, not man, and you can truly trust him, then guess what? That focus and that trust will hold you away from the natural thing for us as human beings to do and to fall into that trap of a critical nature. Because if you focus on him and not man, then he's never going to fail you. If you really trust him, no matter what anybody else does, no matter what the weather is, no matter what the trial is, no matter what the blessing is, you trust him. Amen. And so you don't have anything to be critical about because I trust him. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians 10 and 12. The Bible teaches us a very powerful lesson. Verse 12 of chapter 10, 2 Corinthians. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. So, the first way to keep bringing forth good treasure is to focus on God, not man. Second is trust in God. Believe in his higher ways. The third thing is do not compare yourself to others. The beautiful thing about the church is that we're all different. Amen. You're not me and I'm not you. And you have idiosyncrasies, and I have idiosyncrasies, and they're different. We call our brother Phillips and I call them idiot secrets. We all have idiot secrets. We're all different. Amen. You know, you like some colors and I like others, and you like some cars and I like others, and you know, everybody's different, and that's what the church is about. We celebrate the diversity of the church. And it's more than just skin color or nationality or language origin or country origin. It's more than all that. We're all different. Amen. And so we should not compare ourselves among ourselves, because remember, we're focusing on God, not man. Amen. and we trust God. And so when someone has more than you do, don't compare yourself to them because they have a different life than you. And you know what? Sometimes you don't know what they're dealing with. They may not be dealing with a broken down car like you might be, but they're dealing with something else. And appearances can be deceiving. Oh, we live in the day of social media, right? We see somebody driving in their Mercedes, but we don't see them paying $1,000 a month for a car payment and renting an apartment that doesn't cost that much, right? It's deceiving. You don't see those things, right? And so you don't compare yourselves among yourselves because you don't know what's going on, first of all. Second of all, here's a powerful truth. God knows what you need and what they need. Amen. And your blessing or your bad time may be just what is keeping you saved.
Hallelujah.
Right? If it takes a thorn to keep me saved, Lord, give me a thorn. Paul said, God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And he said, so I will glory in my infirmities.
Amen.
Why? Because he knew that what God had put in his life, that he prayed three times for it to go away. So it must have been pretty serious. He was asking God to take it away. But then he came to the realization it was that thing that he was having to pray about that was keeping him grounded because he had an abundant revelation of what God was doing in the kingdom. And he realized that, hey, if I didn't have this thorn to hold me down, I may get caught up in pride and lose my soul. And so if you need sickness to be saved, praise God for sickness. Right? The Bible says if your eye offends you, pluck it out, because it's better for you to go into eternity without it than to go to hell with it.
Amen.
And so when you focus on God, not man, when you trust God and you're not comparing yourselves among yourselves, your plight may be the very thing that's keeping you praying and saved.
Hallelujah.
And it's better for you to live in something lesser than somebody else and be saved. Right? If having $1 million in the bank is going to make me be lost, that $1 million is worse than not having any money. Because the only thing that matters is the condition of my soul.
Amen.
I don't want to live like a king and go to hell.
Amen.
I would rather be a servant and go to heaven. And so the wisdom here is don't compare yourselves among yourselves. Don't allow yourself to become critical and become envious of somebody else because it will rob you of your peace. All right, 1 Timothy 5:19. It says, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. And so, four, if you're going to keep your heart pure, you got to keep your ears empty. Do not receive an accusation. So many people are ready to receive bad information. They revel in the negative. They believe and pass on information whether there is proof or not. I call it having a ready ear. So here's a funny story. So yesterday, my mother was having trouble with her washer, so she called me, and so I went to fix her washer and got finished, and I went downstairs and got my Jeep, and I was backing out, and this fellow that lives there in this retirement facility, he waved at me, and I waved back, and he said, and so I stopped, and I rolled down my window, and he asked me if I was with Meals on Wheels or something. That's how the conversation started. But it wasn't long, Sister Jeanette, that I found out all kinds of stuff. I found out all the gossip in the whole building. He pointed out three different people that walked by and told me, hey, you know, we used to be friends, but we're not really friends anymore. And then one guy, he's trouble. I don't know. I don't even remember what it was. But he was just filling me up. And I wasn't a ready ear. I was trying to get out of there. Have you ever been around somebody and you had to talk to them backing up? Well, praise God. All right, yeah. You know, that's what I was doing. I was trying to back up. I was trying to get out of there. I needed to get to the office. And but he just filled me up. And he's worried about all those people on the third floor. I don't know what's happening on the third floor, but he's worried about them. So, anyway, but some people, they are magnets for that kind of thing. And you know what? Gossips will find people that love gossip. Uh-oh. And so it breeds a critical nature in us. There's sometimes, if you're around the same people all the time and all they can do is talk negative about others, whoever it is, first of all, let me give you a principle. If they're talking negative about others to you, they're talking negative about you to others. Amen. Come on now. They are. You can guarantee it. You can take it to the bank. Because somebody that's going to talk bad about people all the time, they're going to talk about you when they're not around you. Amen. And so when you allow yourself to be fed, if you become the trash can for their trash, it's going to affect your attitude. Right? You got to protect your attitude. And if you're not careful, it will totally rob you of your joy and your peace and your positivity. Amen. It will suck the life out of you. And sometimes you got to just, you know, first of all, we kind of move away so they don't really know that we're moving away. But sometimes if they just keep on, sometimes you got to say, look, I love you, but I just don't want to hear it anymore. Amen. Let's talk about something good. Amen. You control the content of your heart by what you watch, by what you read, and what you listen to. Amen. And if you don't watch it, it won't be long until you allow somebody like that to fill you up with all their trash. And it will affect you. Amen. It'll affect you. It'll affect the way you see people. And you know better. You know better. And so don't allow yourself to fall into the trap of being a trash can for everybody else's negativity. Amen. You're welcome. Matthew 11, 25. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And so the Bible is very clear on forgiveness. Forgiveness is a you problem. So if you do something to somebody else and you know it, and you understand that you have done something, you need to go to them and make it right. If somebody else has done something to you and you have something in your heart against them, you're supposed to go to them and make it right. So Pastor, you're telling me it's never their fault. No, I'm not saying that. I'm always saying it's your responsibility to deal with it. Amen. If it's your fault, it's your responsibility to deal with it. If it's their fault, it's still your responsibility to deal with it. Amen. That's Bible. That's Bible. Forgiveness and unity is always a me problem. Amen. If I've offended somebody else, I'm going to attempt to make it right. If somebody else offends me, I'm going to attempt to make it right. And guess what? If every one of us in the church does that, then guess you will always have unity because we're always trying to make it right. No matter whether it's coming or going, whether it's somebody hurting me or me hurting somebody else, if I'm aware of it, then I'm working to make it right. Now, not everybody receives forgiveness or receives your apology or receives that they're wrong, that's fine. But the deal is for my heart to be right.
Amen.
Amen. We forgive. We deal with it. If somebody does something to us, we deal with it. If we do something to somebody else, we attempt and we deal with it. And if they choose to harbor unforgiveness, that's between them and God. But we release them and let God deal with it. Because remember, we're focusing on God, not man. We trust God. We're not comparing ourselves among ourselves. We're not having a ready ear to hear negativity about other people. And we are trying to keep our heart right. And so we're living in forgiveness. Because the only two unforgivable sins is, first of all, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Right?
Amen.
Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is basically being just cutting yourself off from the things of God and saying, well, I experienced this, but it wasn't really real. And I always tell somebody, when somebody comes to my office and they're worried about having blasphemed the Holy Ghost, I'm saying, look, if you blasphemed the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't be here trying to make it right. Because I truly believe somebody that is really blaspheming against the Holy Ghost, they have been turned over to a reprobate mind, and they don't even know they're wrong. They don't care if they're right.
Amen.
So that's the one unforgivable sin, right? The Bible talks about that. But the second unforgivable sin is unforgiveness.
Amen.
You cannot, the Bible is so clear, you cannot be forgiven unless you forgive. The same measure that you want to receive forgiveness is the same measure you got to give it out. And I always say this, that it doesn't matter how much, you just give it out every time it's needed.
Amen.
And if you give it out every time it's needed, guess what? Every time you need it, you'll get it.
Amen.
Now, some people won't forgive you. Some people will harbor things against you. But the point is you got to get your heart right. You got to release them and let God deal with it.
Amen.
Amen. And so if you're going to not have a critical nature, if you're going to bring forth good fruit, good treasure, then you're going to have to walk in forgiveness. Romans 12 and 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Number six is be not conformed to this world. This world is a negative place.
Amen.
You very seldom ever hear a positive headline. In fact, our news organization and journalists are so corrupt, they'll turn a positive headline around on its ear and make it negative. It's crazy. And so be not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed. How are we transformed? By the renewing of our mind.
Amen.
How are we renewing our mind? I'll tell you what. We're washing our mind with the water of the Word. Because remember, there's none good but God.
Amen.
If you want to be good, you got to let the Word wash away the bad.
Amen.
Because it's easy to fall into the negative trap of criticism. It's natural to us. You tell somebody some bad news, they'll believe it. You tell them some good news, they'll doubt it. Right? When I talk about this, I always use Hezekiah as a great example of human nature. The prophet comes to him and says, "You're going to die." He goes, "Oh no, I'm going to die." And he prays, he believes it so much, he prays so hard that as the prophet's going out, about to get to the mailbox and walk down the street, God says, "Hey, go back in there and tell him he's going to live." So he goes in there. He tells him first he's going to die. He cries and prays and believes him. But he goes back and said, "Hey, God heard your prayer and he's changed his mind." "Well, you're going to have to prove that to me." I mean, that's us, right? That's the same thing we do all the time.
Amen.
Tell somebody positive news. They're like, "Oh, you got to prove that to me." Automatically, everybody's from Missouri, you know. You got to show me.
Hallelujah.
And so God had to turn back the clock.
Amen.
To prove to Hezekiah something positive that was in opposition to something he just told him that something negative that he told him. And he believed it.
Amen.
That's human nature. Amen. We got to be renewed by the water and the washing of the word. We have got to allow ourselves to be conformed to the word of God, not to the world.
Amen.
Amen. There are whole industries in our world, in our culture today, that thrive on nothing more than the art of criticizing. We have art critics, movie critics, fashion police, political pundits, tabloid journalism, talk shows, newscasts, podcasts, blogs, vlogs, everything you can think of. And most of it is just based on something critical. But we cannot be conformed to this world. Number seven, as I've already talked about, we've got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Strengthen your resolve by renewing yourself in the Holy Ghost. By reading the Word of God. It's been proven that reading the Word of God literally rewires your thought process.
Amen.
It rewires your thought process.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because we are living with the battlefield of the mind. 1 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Hallelujah.
There is a spiritual battle taking place, and it's not out here, it's up here.
Amen.
The Bible says in Romans 8:7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this present world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 2 Timothy 1:7, he has not given us the spirit again unto fear, but a power, love. It's up here. It's a sound mind. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world hath blinded what? The minds of them which do not believe. The unregenerated mind is the stronghold of the enemy. So how do we win the warfare that happens in the mind? Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so we've got to deal with the battle in our mind. We've got to deal with the strongholds. We've got to war against carnal thinking. We've got to bring every thought into captivity. And we've got to be ready to deal with, take responsibility for any disobedience in us. Any thought, any word, or any action. Amen. We've got to bring forth good treasure. And good takes cultivating. If you have the Holy Ghost tonight, you have the seeds and you have the power to produce good treasure. The fruit of the Spirit. You have that potential. But just because you have the Holy Ghost, and just because you've been washed in the waters of baptism, doesn't mean that you do not have to deal with your flesh every day you get up. Because guess what? You're going to wake up with yourself every day.
Amen.
So what I tell people when they're trying to run from trouble, I'm saying, you know what? You're taking yourself with you. When you get to the new place, you're going to have trouble there too, because guess what? You're taking yourself there.
Amen.
If you don't deal with yourself, it'll never change. It'll never change. Could we stand tonight? Amen. I'm so thankful for the spirit that I feel in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we offer ourselves to you again tonight. Lord, you see the things in me that should not be the way they are. Lord, I pray that you would wash me again. You see the thoughts that creep into my mind that hinder my worship and hinder my prayers and color the way I see other people. Lord, wash my mind. Wash my heart again. Lord, forgive me. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we want to be disciples. We want to be like him. Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can we just love him for a few minutes tonight? Amen.
So take
amen.
My heart.
Take my heart. Tonight, hallelujah.
Just take